said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
That's when I feel sexy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. Moneybags, is back, baby. We had another day in the green, baby.
This is such a good day.
He is rolling right here. Moneybags is back in this thing. And it is 5:02 at this point now. Nothing new has occurred unless you've seen something, Tyler or Cheryl. I have not, as we sit through the entire break trying to find anything. I have not seen anything just because we don't it's 5:02 doesn't mean anything. It's like just now, Charlie Morton is going to the Tigers. That has just been reported 11 seconds even after 5 o'clock, so there could be something else going down. And a deal may have been made prior to the trade deadline that just has not been announced. But thus far, a lot of people have been on Dylan Cease watch or another starter watch, especially with Ryan Gusto gone. At this point, we are not seeing any of that right now, but we will keep you updated. But what did occur today for the Astros and what they have done in the trade deadline, it started for them last night. As they made a move after we got off the air, they made a move and acquired the infielder from the Baltimore Orioles, Ramon Urias. He could play third. He had 66 starts at third. He could play all in the infield. And potentially now, with other moves the Astros have made today, he may play second base or a utility role. We'll see. But that is the first move they made last night. And then the big move today, the Houston Astros, they acquired Carlos Correa in a trade with the Minnesota Twins. In this trade, one prospect is going back to the Twins, and the Twins are going to pay some of that money. We're not sure how much they're going to pay right now. We're not even sure of the prospect at this moment. But the big news is Carlos Correa is coming back here with the understanding that he will play third base for the Astros, and with Pena swinging the bat at Sugar Land yesterday with a home run, it should open up a space where he returns as well, and you'll have your shortstop back and your old shortstop playing third base for Carlos Correa. And then also in the 3 o'clock hour, the Astros acquired outfielder, a left-handed bat that they were looking for, Jesus Sanchez, a young player, 27 years old, 6'4", 222. He hit a 256, is hitting 256, an on base of 320. He's got 9 stolen bases, 10 home runs, 36 RBIs, 40 runs scored. So a solid outfield bat and a left-handed bat that they have been searching for to this lineup. But with that, the Marlins, they get Ryan Gusto. So he is out of that rotation, and that is why it was really important to see if the Astros would add anybody else to their rotation, and as of now, we have not seen any of those moves done. So that is it. Today, Correa and Sanchez, they acquired. They lose Ryan Gusto. That is all that we know at this point. But that is where the Astros are at 5:05 as the trade deadline ended at 5 o'clock. Your thoughts, Clint, on what you see the Astros have done thus far?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot, man. Obviously headlined by the Correa move. I love the Correa move. You get better defensively. You get potentially great across the board defensively with gold gloves at first, second, third, and short potentially at any point in time when you see necessary. You get a what I would say is probably a four-hole hitter, but definitely a top five hitter in this lineup. You get a guy in Carlos Correa that is – a super alpha that from a leadership perspective, you know the intangible you're bringing back into the clubhouse. Along with that, you know, Carlos Correa, the clutch gene, the no matter how big the moment is, he's not going to blink at all, and he has a tendency to his biggest moments have been in clutch moments in playoff time. So not to mention he's just a guy that you bring back to the city. I mean, the shot in the arm for this team, for this franchise, for this fan base, for this city is an absolute beautiful thing. So Carlos Correa is obviously the headliner. The Urias move, I don't mind the move because you definitely get, again, better defensively. You know, when you talk about the guys that you're having to make up for, you got a bunch of space cowboys in there now. So at this point in time, you do get better at the bottom of your lineup if and when he does have to hit, kind of thing, in a daily basis. You don't give up much to get him. So I don't mind that. And then the Jesus Sanchez, like you mentioned, left-handed bat that brings a little bit of pop, that answers a little bit of an issue on the defensive side of the game with that left field situation, that outfield situation, that everybody seems to think they need more outfielders. So he checks that box. So I love what the Astros have done. Again, I hope we get a late announcement here that they were able to make a move for a pitcher. If not, where they sit right now, it's very, very simple, man. They have put all their eggs in, whether they did it by choice or not, they put all of their eggs in the baskets of guys that have been injured, some minor injuries, some significant injuries, guys that haven't pitched much in the last 3 years. The risk is those guys come back and they get hurt again, or it doesn't pan out, or for whatever reason they can't ramp them up in time, and you've got a starter problem. But right now, Spencer Arrigetti and I would say Lance McCullers, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, you know, those guys are, the ability to win games in the playoffs, I think, and win a playoff series is probably going to ride on those guys.
To that point, Clint, this coming from Chandler Rome about a minute ago, the Astros are done. Sources tell The Athletic their trade deadline haul is Carlos Correa, Urias, Jesus Sanchez. Talks with Dylan Cease were legitimate and at times picked up steam, but ultimately never got over the finish line. So they are done. The Dylan Cease thing is done. There will be no late announcement. This is where they are at right now with the moves they made. They did make a lot of moves, in the lineup from a hitting perspective and defense perspective, but non pitching move. And now I really like what they have done. I think Correa means a ton with this to this particular team, more than he would mean with other teams. But I do, you know, think there is a concern now with the pitching, especially immediate. Is Christian Javier ready to go now? I know he went 55, 60 pitches. That was what they were wanting to see yesterday with the Space Cowboys. But still, that would be the max that he is given right now. And they just lost Ryan Gusto. So right now they have in their rotation, you know, Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Colton Gordon, Jason Alexander, and, you know, we'll see, because Ryan Gusto was the other one there with all the injuries they have. Now we're going to see maybe they feel with this move. But clearly, Clint, they wanted to get Dylan Cease. They were talking hard, but clearly they are willing to go with, you know, whatever they have here until Javier, Spencer Arrigetti, the rest of the crew can get ready. So I do have a small concern of how those guys are going to be, because, as you said, they've thrown all the eggs in that basket now.
Sure. I mean, look, here's the deal, man. If when you look defensively and you look at the lineup, assuming guys get healthy, I think they've put their best foot forward. And the reality of it is for whatever reason, they weren't able to swing somebody in the starting rotation. And now you're gambling on some guys that you know really, really well. We're not privy to that information. They know where these guys are at and whether they're comfortable or not to roll with them. But you got two at the top that you know are surefire guys that you can win playoff games with. You just need one of the other three or four guys to step up. Now, how do you chew up these last 51, 53 games? You chew these games? We'll see how that happens. But come playoff time, you just need one, maybe two of those guys to come around and be, you know, what they once were.
The thing is, the Astros were one of the more active teams at the deadline, but they weren't alone, and they weren't alone in their division. The Mariners, they were very active. You could argue they took two of the biggest bats on the market with Josh Naylor and Suarez, who they add yesterday. They had Suarez yesterday, added Naylor the other day, and then they also added a lefty in their bullpen as well from the Pirates. So they were active. Merrill is another starter that was high on many people's trade boards. And the Rangers, who are five games back tied with the Mariners, they added him. They added Phil Maton for a little bullpen help as well. So the Rangers and Mariners behind the Astros were also really, really active today and made some moves, not just today, but over the past week or so, and made some moves to add to their team. So this should be an interesting final few days down the stretch, or final few weeks down the stretch until the season ends in the AL West. But the Astros still hold a five-game lead over both the Mariners and Rangers.
So. Yeah, you can argue, and I'm not familiar with their injury issues on either one of those teams, but the fact that the Astros were able to stretch out a five, at times seven-plus game lead in this division tells me those other squads needed to do a lot of work. Now, the Astros needed to get healthy, and I'm glad they did some, because of some of those injuries are more significant than we thought, they clearly needed to make some of the moves they made. But you got, as far as I know, those teams, with the exception of maybe a couple of guys, are you know, the guys that they're going to have to go to battle with are playing. The Astros are going to be significantly better in a month from now than they are right now. And they're going to be completely different, obviously, a month from now than they are right now. So that's the one advantage that the Astros have is one, you got a five-game lead, and two, you're going to get guys back from the injury list that are equivalent to some of these acquisitions that your in-division opponents have made today.
By the way, stay tuned. A little bit later on, Tyler has worked hard and put together a little something for Carlos Correa. It's been a while since we heard a Milner montage. Wow, I just made that up right there.
Ooh, that sounded good to me. I'd love to make them.
It's been a while since we've heard a Milner montage, but we'll let you hear that a little bit later on because Tyler almost lost it. Tyler, for about a 15-minute period, we had lost Tyler. Tyler.
I don't call me Psycho T for nothing.
Tyler was letting it ride, baby.
I really couldn't even help it, dude. I was in here out of my damn skull.
He just started reading stuff.
He started getting all lightheaded.
He was letting it roll. But stay tuned for that coming up here in just a bit.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, football is back, fellas. The Hall of Fame game, we went there to Canton last year. Really cool thing they got going on there, a little bit outside of Cleveland. But the Chargers and the Lions get going tonight. Two teams that are thought to be at the, you know, playoff contenders. Maybe the Lions are Super Bowl contenders with those teams. But there are a lot of people, Clint, who feel like that the Chargers are a team in year two of Jim Harbaugh. And if you've watched Harbaugh from hell, San Diego to Stanford to the Niners to Michigan, and here now he's in year two with the Chargers, those teams have taken big steps after year one when he's really implemented his culture and the way he does business. And then a lot of people believe the Lions may take a step back. Where do you see these two teams coming up in the NFL season, the Chargers and the Lions?
Well, I don't worry about the Chargers. I think, you know, there's you got your quarterback back, you got your offensive play caller back, you got your head coach back. And as you said, your head coach is a guy that has a tendency and a history of setting a standard, being a more physical football team, playing smart, and he finds a way to win. He's a winner. And so I think the Chargers take the next step and are a better football team. The Lions are one that I think is a little bit of a wild card here. I mean, when you got to replace your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator, yeah, then the odds of you hitting on both of those guys, I got to believe, is slim. And so we'll see how they end up working out. Now, I know they hired an offensive coordinator from within, so maybe that stability.
I think they did that defensively too, didn't they?
Did they? I'm not familiar with their defensive hire. But you know, that obviously, you know, would bring a little bit of familiarity, probably not a lot of terminology change, and probably not as much of a deal as we want to make it. But we'll find out, you know, this season, maybe not tonight, but we'll damn sure find out this season whether they've got the polos on the sidelines or a weapon or not.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, because, I mean, they have been running as one of the best teams the last 2 years, but they have had, you could argue, the two best coordinators in football, potentially on their teams, that both got head coaching jobs and probably got to pick the spots they wanted to go to. So football back. Football is back. NBC tonight. Chargers Lions, a Hall of Fame game.
5 o'clock fire.
And then, Clint, a little NFL news, a little sneaky move. The Bengals, they pick up Noah Fant, and he is a former first-rounder, been with Seattle, been with multiple teams here of late. But they add him, joining, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Mike Gesicki already there as a tight end spot. I saw when he was released, some people were texting in, ooh, the Texans should take a look at Noah Fant. I feel like they're pretty deep at the tight end position, but he's a talented, solid player in the league. And I don't know if the Texans should have gone and looked at him, because I think they've got three or four guys they like, but an interesting guy that was open there.
Yeah, interesting. I don't think the Texans should have even
considered it.
Not even considered. I mean, you've got three guys. One you've invested heavily in. Two of them that are coming, and I think you've got a really, really promising room right there. There's not a need for a gadget weapon tight end. You got that at the very least. There's not a need for a hand in the dirt physical guy that is developing. You got that. There's not a need for the savvy veteran that can do some things in the pass game and be a quarterback's best friend, kind of sees the game through that lens. You got that. So, I think that room is healthy. We'll see if they can literally stay healthy, and two, if they can all contribute in their own way. We'll see about that. But adding a tight end to this group would be, I think, a little out of pocket.
I will be honest with you. Before OTA, or really mandatory minicamp, I would have been open to it, but I do think this group feels different now.
Oh, you see him, Brevin Jordan. Seeing Brevin Jordan and like, not only is he healthy, but you see the twitch and the speed, the explosiveness. Then you see his willingness now he's really putting an emphasis on being a better blocker, and he doesn't have a problem saying, man, we got to be able to block edge rushers one-on-one kind of deal. Like, he doesn't have a problem like acknowledging what the struggles were last year. I love that about him. And then when you really, man, when you look at Cade Stover, I just think Cade Stover, this was the time. Does a guy that hadn't played tight end much, does he hit a wall and not continue to, develop, or does he continue to develop? And it looks like he just continues to take stride after stride after stride and get better. So I think the tight end room is, I'm excited about him.
Yeah, and they love Cade Stover. And yep. Brevin, to be honest with you. All right, coming up, there's been a lot of good news for the Astros today and last night with what they've added. But we will let you know some bad news that occurred. Not really that surprising, but maybe the length of this issue is a little bit surprising. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Hold on, so
it's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, big day today. I love it. I get excited when breaking stuff takes over and we have to improvise and throw things off the rundown and change things up.
Roll the rundown out.
Yeah, we did. When Carlos Correa leg drops off the top rope back into Houston, you gotta roll with it, and not to mention all the moves they made as well. And good to see a lot of people are excited about it. And you should. Coming up here in a little bit, you will hear the latest Milner montage as he did a little something for Carlos Correa coming back. And you'll want to hear that coming up here in a bit. I do want to pass this across. One, really good news if you missed it. Do you have that, Tyler? I meant to late for you. The home run that Jeremy Pena hit last night as he was in Sugar Land. This should be his last game with the Space Cowboys. Hopefully he is able to go up to Boston and get right into the lineup. We talked about it yesterday that he had two strikeouts, but he scored two runs, walked, got hit by a pitch. But he got things going out there.
I got it.
And we talked about, from the standpoint, it's not really about his results. It's more about how does he feel and everything. This was ribs, not, you know, anything that you look at and say, oh, boy, if he's 0 for 5, boy, we can't bring him up. Well, last night he had a couple of swings. His first at-bat, he hit the ball really, really hard and well into an out, but then he had this happen a little bit later on.
Two outs. First offer to him. And Pena hits this high in the air, deep to left, and that one is gone! That's what the people showed up for tonight. Jeremy Pena, a solo shot to left. I think the swing looks pretty good. 6-1 Space Cowboys on the blast by Pena.
Well, at the last at-bat, he hit it very well.
By that, when he said, I think the swing looks pretty good, I think he said, I think this is the last time I'll be calling the Jeremy Pena game right now, as he will go back to Boston. But he looks good. He looks like he's ready to go. Should see him, I would think, by those results, Clint, before see him this weekend in Boston. So that is a really good sign to get him back. As I said yesterday, I think he's as important as anybody that's injured to get back.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Space Cowboys fans, look, there's plenty more to come, but not of Jeremy Pena. He's heading to Boston. I mean, you got a lot of guys coming up your way and plenty of reason to buy tickets and go hang out and watch good baseball, but I don't believe Pena's going to be in that lineup any longer. So
no,
I'm with you. That was a beautiful, beautiful crack of the bat. The sound sounded like it was almost manufactured, almost wasn't real. But yeah, man, how quick can we get this guy on a private jet and get his ass to Boston? There ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, or United.
Ain't no chance. That's the only thing, man.
Shoot, I don't know, man. Again, they put a Litmus Diaz on that Sprinter van. But anyway, I think it is also good to note, as you said, he won't be in that Space Cowboy lineup anymore. Also, it looks like, and judging by the moves that were made today and yesterday, no surprise, it looks like Isak Paredes won't be in the Astros lineup anytime soon. According to Bob Nightingale, Hotel Bobby, the Astros are now bracing themselves to be without third baseman Isak Paredes for at least 6 to 7 months with his torn hamstring. The hope is he can be ready by opening day of 2026. So
that
is a big blow, Clint. He was on track to hit over 30 home runs and have a big run-producing season, but they lose him. Obviously, they replace him right now with Correa, but that is a tough loss because he was one of the guys in the trade you didn't talk about a lot with the youth of Cam Smith and the pitching with Wisniewski, but he was probably the best out of the group. He was an all-star this year, and it's a big loss to lose him, but it looks like it may be a while when initially they said, we'll see. But now it looks like it may have been torn off the bone or something, looking 6 to 7 months.
Yeah, man. Look, obviously something you don't ever want to see, especially to a guy like Isak Paredes, who was just having such a tremendous year. And really, while everybody else was injured, I mean, he was just kind of leading the pack, if you will, and leading the pack at times up to, again, 5, 6, 7 game lead in the division. So would have loved to see him finish this thing out, but the truth is clearly they're going to miss him for a while, and they're not bracing. They have braced. Carlos Correa, Ramon Urias, I mean, they've made two moves for two different guys that can play third base at an even higher level of than Paredes can defensively. I think it's unfortunate. I was looking forward to seeing him make this run with the Astros, but glad they were able to find somebody to take his spot.
Yeah,
we'll see what it looks like in the future. By the way, you're gonna have three. You're gonna have three really good third basemen. You have to figure out what to do.
Yeah, you got somebody gonna have to run to the outfield. Whatever, something. Yeah, that'll be for years to come. By the way, Clint, from Bob Nightingale, I think really Bob Nightingale Jr. Said this first. Who was a beat writer for the Twins. And Bob Nightingale, Hotel Lobby Bobby, 2 Chainz, the man who likes a little vodka and a splash of cranberry, he retweeted it. The Twins are receiving left-handed pitcher Matt McCluskey from the Houston Astros in the Carlos Correa salary dump trade. So I don't know. We still don't know the amount of money that the Twins are picking up on this 102 million-dollar deal left, but they're picking up some money and getting a pitching prospect from the Astros in that. So nobody we know. I thought Chaz might be a part of this. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, I mean, I think there's probably a couple of guys. There's a couple of them, outfielders that I would imagine were holding on to their boots, man. I mean, because Chaz would be one of them for what he did a year, 2 years ago. But you got a couple of those young guys that have come up and shown to be promising in a short stint here this year. And the Bryce Matthews thing is what scared the hell out of me. Once you sign Correa, you start looking around and you go, man, you got too many infielders.
Would you been all right with if Bryce Matthews was in involved in one of these trades?
That'd have been tough for me to. That'd have been a tough pill for me to swallow, man. That's a top prospect that's done just enough right now to really have us all turned on for the future of what he brings to that middle infield. With Pena, that would have been a risky move to move him for any of these guys, really. But definitely anybody not named Correa.
That would have been a little too much. By the way, real quick. And we can maybe push this on the other side. With these moves they've made, obviously they didn't get maybe the pitcher yet, but who knows? If Christian Javier is Christian Javier, then they got a top-of-the-rotation type starter, and that could be that third starter they're looking for. Do you feel like the Astros now are a serious contender? You feel that way? Clint, you feel like they're a serious contender?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were teasing that. I'm looking at the clock. My bad. Yeah, absolute. Hell yes.
You do?
Yes.
Feel that way before these moves were made?
No, there had to be a caveat, right? Before the moves were made, Ron, it was a deal like if everybody comes back healthy, and by the way, this is before we knew the extent of Paredes' injury. If everybody comes back healthy and everybody is a good to great version of themselves that we know, then there's you got a chance. The truth of the matter is there's nobody running away with the American League, right? And there's some loaded teams that right now are may get hot at the right time and be a real problem in the American League. But the reality of it is you got five or six teams up there, and I think any of those five or six teams could be the representative in the World Series out of the American League. And the Astros are one of those teams. I feel like the difference between now and then is the caveat was solely on, well, if you get healthy and everybody is nails, then you got a shot. Now, I don't think you're as dependent on every single body coming back and being nails. It'd be nice, but I don't think you're as dependent as you once were.
Yeah, it was all predicated on health. And clearly we've seen with a lot of those guys, it's not health that you can just depend on, that they were going to be back. Right, that was the scary part of it is, because right now what they were at, everything has to go right. Like it was Framber and Hunter Brown have got to be absolute nails and just win starts every time they start in the postseason and find a way to put together stuff and hope that one of your big guns like Yordan Alvarez comes back and is able to be Yordan that we know and love. Now you've given yourself to me a real opportunity to do a lot of different things. They're versatile. They can mix and match platoon. They can do a lot more right now.
I'm 100% with you there, man. I think this, you had a real problem if you get bad news in center field. You had a real problem if you got bad news from Paredes, which you did. Like you had some real problems there. Now with these additions, you've got answers.
Yep. All right, coming up, Miller Montage is he has a little montage on Carlos Correa, who returns. We'll get your thoughts about that as well as best bets. He's on a roll, fellas. He's on a roll, ladies. Better step with him, all right, man. He only lost one bet last night, baby, in the green last night. That's 2 days in a row. So T Mill's best bets are coming up as we continue on a really, really great day for the Astros on the drive.
Tyler Miller, you are the greatest producer in the world.
You gotta get your nails done.
It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, just in case, if you're just jumping in, it is a exciting day here in Houston. The return of Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa returns to the Houston Astros. Didn't seem like they had to give up much. One prospect, and the Astros are getting some help from the Minnesota Twins on the rest of the contract that they will have him. They've got control of him for the next at least three years, and then three more years of a team option. So this year and three more years, and then team option start. They also acquire the left-handed bat that we heard them wanting to get, and that's Jesus Sanchez from the Marlins. Now, Ryan Gusto does go back to Miami in that trade, and it does leave the Astros short a starter, especially with all the injuries right now, and they did not get one back. Dylan Cease, those talks ultimately could not come together in a deal, so he is staying put in San Diego. So we'll see what the Astros do from a pitching perspective now that they've lost another starter, this time via trade. But all in all, they've added, and I think added some excitement to this team. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, C.J. Stroud will be live with the fellas tonight. C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. There you go, right there. God bless C.J. Stroud, according to Clint Sterner, will be live with the guys afterwards, so stay tuned for that. And then I saw it. Patrick Creighton said it. Area 45 is going to be lit tonight, baby. Major excitement as, yes, the Astros have a day off, but they made some major moves. They were talking to Bob Nightingale yesterday about a lot of things, and they'll be covering the Astros' moves better than anybody you can hear at night. The best late-night talk show in all of Houston, Area 45. Coming up behind us, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago will have that down for you. And we will get to best bets in a bit. But Milner, the Milner montage has made his long-awaited return as mid-show. Carlos Correa comes here, and before we were allowed and able to get Tyler's absolute, I mean, excitement through the building down.
Blood pressure escalated.
It did. He was able to make a montage remembering Carlos Correa. And if you don't remember, if you need some help getting amped, remembering the major moments of the man who was Carlos, who became Los, here it is.
With the first selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Houston Astros select Carlos Correa, a shortstop from Puerto Rico Baseball Academy, Puerto Rico.
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill.
There's a ball into right field, hit well, that'll be over the head of Haniger, it'll bounce into the crowd, and that'll be a game winner! Astros win it, 5-4, the walk-off double by Correa!
Carlos is a clutch man, you know, I mean, you know, he's big game Carlos to me.
Here's Gleyber Torres, pass Bregman, deep in the hole, Correa long throw, he got him! Carlos Correa from shallow left field!
In the air, center field, Correa's watching, this is back, and it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win!
La pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central, Carlos Correa, Duque! Díganle que no es la pelota!
When I talk to my wife, she knows, no getting your nails done, not getting your hair done right now. She knows.
In the air, deep to left field, fair or foul. That ball's a home run. 2-0 Astros, Correa.
So what are they going to say now?
The Astros fans, I will say thank you for all your support, not only on the field, but also off the field. I feel your love. You know, coming from Puerto Rico, 17 years old, you know, I was kind of scared at that point, and in the city, the fans.
I can watch you celebrate, and right now I'm looking forward to the champagne. Maybe get drunk tonight.
All right, there it is.
Oh, we're getting drunk tonight, baby.
We welcome the return of the Milner montage and some of those moments. Again, I've seen this on the text line. People are looking at his numbers, Clint, this year. And, it doesn't jump off the page like the 36 home runs from Suarez or some of the other guys. He's got 7 home runs this year, 30-something RBIs. He's hitting .267 or so. But, Clint, he's 30 years old. He's not 37. And we know, as you said earlier, he has that knack to show up in big moments. And we've watched him do it multiple times. Hell, Clint, when they played the Twins in the playoffs a couple of years ago, they were able to beat the Twins, but he had major moments against the Astros for the Twins, and you were hoping he would not come to the plate when big moments occurred because we know what Carlos can do. And I think that is what it is. Carlos, especially for this team, all of the intangibles, yes, but he's a great defender, and you would imagine he's probably going to be one of the best third basemen in baseball. And that there's a guy in the middle of the order that pitchers don't just look at and say, oh, all right, easy out. No, he's somebody you're game planning for and can come up with big moments.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's the guy you want at the plate. I mean, this is a guy you plug in the 4-hole, 5-hole in your lineup, and you just keep this thing moving. I mean, with the exception of maybe the slugging is down a bit here with this 704 OPS. I mean, the average is slightly below his career average. Not having a great year by any means, but it's nothing to be alarmed by. I mean, like a year ago, I mean, the guy hit .310 and had a 900 plus OPS. I mean, he's still Carlos Correa that can put up big numbers. He's still Carlos Correa that's clutch as hell. He's still Carlos Correa that is a without a doubt alpha leader in the clubhouse. They've already had the conversation about, hey, Jeremy Pena's our shortstop. You're going to play third. He said, cool, I'm good with it. It's about that time in my career to do that anyway. And so he's got one thing on his mind, which is winning a World Series. He knows how to do it. He's done it before. And I think this is a huge get for the Astros, all things considered. I mean, you got better on defense. It wasn't a left-handed bat that you're looking for, but it's a really, really good right-handed bat that you plug in. Even when they're completely healthy, this is your 4 or 5-hole hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else you want, you know?
Yeah, maybe we start to, if they're healthy, put this lineup together. He may be higher if he's in the lineup when they go to Boston. He may be higher in there, but yeah, it feels like it. Yeah, he's a top 5 hitter in this lineup. And when you look at guys, if they do get them back, Jake Meyers, who's really improved and had a better year, and maybe Yiner Diaz is starting to come on after his last couple of games against the Nationals there. You feel a lot different if those guys are hitting, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and not just 6th, 7th, and 8th because Taylor Trammell and Jacob Melton has somehow slid into the 4 and 5 spot, but because they got dudes, you know, like Carlos Correa or, you know, Yordan Alvarez up in the you know, 3, 4, and 5 spot. So that to me is a big difference. So, yes, you should be excited. Make sure you're listening to Payne and Pendergast in the morning. I'm sure they will have a lot on this in the loop as well. And we'll continue tomorrow on a big, big moment and a big day in Astros history as Carlos Correa returns back home, as
that
he said.
Sounds good.
It does. By the way, before we get to T-Mill's best bets, this thing in Washington is coming along. Here is All-Pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin has requested a trade, according to Jordan Schultz and multiple sources, that he wants out right now since he can't get the contract going. They've added Deebo Samuel. They were really locked and loaded to be the sexy pick in the NFC, and old Scary Terry apparently has been fed up and requested a trade out of Washington. So
drama.
Yeah, you know, I think I just reading through this, I think that, you know, he obviously has had some issues, and I think teams have been poking around for a while now, but Washington's never even shown a remote interest in moving the wide receiver. I doubt that changes. This may be just a tactic to get them to move off their position in these contract talks. But they'd be crazy to move him right now. I mean, you're sitting right now in a spot where, I mean, you got to be one of the sexy picks right now to win the NFC. Definitely the favorite in the NFC East. Actually, the Super Bowl winner would be the favorite in the NFC East. But you're right there. You're right there neck and neck with them. And so, man, it'd be tough to part ways with this cat. I mean, what do you think? Do you think they're a top three NFC team?
Yeah, top five at least. Yeah, the Eagles, like the Rams.
I mean, they're right there with them jokers, right?
Like
I mean,
the Lions, yeah.
Yeah, they're Lions. That, you don't know what the Lions are going to get. They're right there with them. So one of the favorites in the NFC for sure. Man, it'd be tough to lose you to move your best player. Surely they're not going to do that.
All right, you're hot, Tyler. Let's get the best bets. Make sure you check Real Deal T-Mill to get if you miss him, to get those best bets. What you got?
Yes, sir, and that was close. At T-Mill Real Deal. Got him switched up a bit there. Go check there for these five best bets real quick. We're on fire, people. We're on fire. We're back putting money in pockets. There's only two baseball games tonight. All five of these, of course, within these two. Braves plus half a run in the first five innings against the Reds. Next, Braves plus a run and a half in that same game overall for the game at the Reds. Braves team total in this ball game, over 3.5 runs for them tonight. And then the Rangers, Arlington, plus 1.5 tonight as they travel to Seattle to take on the Mariners. And that same awful-ass Rangers team is going to be just a little better than they normally are tonight. Over 3.5 runs for the Rangers versus the Mariners. Those are your five best bets. Let's go. And welcome back, Correa.
There you go. Great job, Tyler and Cheryl, doing a lot of work throughout the day to see what's going on with the Astros during the trade deadline. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, as always, great job. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. Immediately let you...
Oh, hell! Let's go! Let's go!
God, what do we have? What is the breaking news, Tyler?
Holy hell, Houston. Welcome freaking back. He used to play short. You know him on this show as Los Correa. Sources say the Astros have agreed to a deal to reacquire Carlos Correa in a trade with the Minnesota Twins. Let's have it go!
There you go. Let it out, Tyler.
To hell with that clubhouse. Me and Tyler's in this thing just chomping at the bit, man. This
let
is...
it go.
And watch you celebrate. And right now I'm looking forward to the champagne. Maybe get drunk tonight. And watch you celebrate. And right now I'm looking forward to the champagne. Maybe get drunk tonight.